Yeah, did you try out for Pom Squad? What did you try out for?
I did. I'm the head cheerleader of all time.
You should be. They'd be lucky to have you.
Yeah, until I break a hip.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh, you guys. One herky. We're one herky away from...
One herky away.
from the nursing home.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Lordy, lordy.
What's up, chicken?
I'm on spring break.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, but I don't feel real great.
Oh, well, it's because you get sick whenever you have a break.
That's exactly right.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
okay. Anyway. Well, let's get into episode 129. Welcome, everybody. Designer Cornbread, we're here again. You thought you got rid of us, but...
We're back.
It's like a bad cold. We're back. Joni
like
is
a
on
hair
spring
and
break.
A biscuit.
I like, oh,
just keeps
gross.
Hanging around.
Like a hair and a biscuit. That's disgusting. Dude, if there's hair on food, that's it. That's the diet program I actually need.
That's all you need, right?
Is
there,
just
huh?
Put a hair on there and I'm
remind
good.
Remind me next time I make the little pimento and cheese balls. To
no.
Stick, but I'm going to pull out one of my hairs
don't do
and
that.
Stick on there so I can have them all.
Joni. I don't think I could eat it even if it was my own hair. Like, even if I knew. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's an issue. But that's your diet tip for the day. Mm-hmm. Just put hair on your food. Joni's on spring break.
Yeah.
And she's looking real excited about it.
I don't feel good. I always, y'all, this always happens. As soon I will push through, mm-hmm. I will work and mm-hmm. never get sick
yep.
at school.
Yep.
But as soon as it lets out for whatever, I get sick.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't that nuts? It's bizarre, but it truly happens. So.
Well, it is. And I know, but I push myself until, you
true.
Know, I hit a brick wall and
true.
Then when I can
true.
Stop. My body goes, okay, we're done.
Yeah, so maybe...
kind of like you did at Avery's wedding.
My gosh, you guys.
That's kind of what it was. Holly, y'all, when Avery got married...
And I felt 100... Here's the thing. I was 100... And I didn't... I mean, it was normal wedding stress, but certainly not. But just normal, you know, lots of stuff to do. Lots of peopling, lots of prep. But I felt absolutely fine. The wedding... The day after, like nothing at all.
The last person walked out the door from the
I
brunch
swear.
After the wedding,
uh-huh.
and Holly hit the sofa, and she didn't move.
I didn't get
that
up.
That was it. Like through all of Thanksgiving break.
And got sick, like a cough, like
yeah.
a cold. Not just like I'm tired, but like my
yeah.
body literally, it was so funny. I've never had it happen that like precisely. And like I
yeah.
said, I felt totally fine. Like I wasn't.
Until you could stop.
It was bizarre. Anyway, yes, but I went to your house and made you take care of me.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what spring break? So, do you have any goals, any hopes, any dreams?
I am.
Any fantasies?
I thought
what do you
we
got?
Were going to the beach, Holly.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll come get you.
Okay.
How'd I know, man?
No, I am going to get out back now and try to. Clean up from all the storm damages
and,
you know, everything that's been flying around all winter and get the pool cleaned up and get the gazebo ready for us to sit out there.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah. So
that's fun
that's
though.
My,
that's fun when you can just focus on something for a few days at a time. That is actually really rewarding and fun. So.
Of course, I had to buy new panels for the gazebo.
Did you get some new ones?
I did. The storms have, I mean, of course they were getting rough this summer.
Yeah,
stuff.
They've worn.
I mean,
you got your money's worth out of them.
Worms. I mean, I have completely just ripped them apart.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's bad. So, Anyway, so that's my big lofty goal for spring break. Everybody else is at the beach and I am cleaning my pool.
Listen, but that's a good goal because you know that's going to pay off in a couple of few weeks when you want to be out there. That'll really pay off. So it's best to get it done. So anything weird happened at school this last week? Anything interesting? Any good stories?
Not really. No.
Everyone's calm?
Everybody was calm. Everybody was ready to get out.
Okay, true.
You know, it's all this. I feel like that spring semester is longer. I feel like that I get more done in fall than spring.
Yeah.
I mean, spring there's just interruption after interruption after interruption after this, that, or the other.
And when the weather starts to turn nice, your brain's just shut down.
And look, senioritis is a real thing. And after spring break,
forget it.
They're kind of done.
Yeah.
But then after prom, they're done. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just done.
Yeah. You're lucky that they're showing up. They are coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're trying to be there, but they're just warm bodies at that point.
Right. And I get it. I mean, and it's, you know, if they're going to college,
they already
everything's
know.
Done. Yeah. You know, I mean, they could, frankly, not show up for the rest of the year now. And
don't tell them. You have to show up. Go to school, kids. Don't
listen
to
Ms. Jordan. I mean, that's not a reality. But, you know, I mean, their GPAs are not going to change that much. Right. They've gotten their scholarships. They know their roommates. They've been accepted to college. You know, I mean,
they can breathe. Yep.
They can breathe. They're going into the workforce, most of them already have jobs lined up.
Oh, okay.
You know, from... they're just waiting to cross the stage.
Okay.
And so, you know, right now it's just, you know, breathing in air.
Yeah. That's what I'm just, they're just filling seats. But you know, it's nice. I mean, you've been to school a long time. You know, that's a long time to be going to school. I mean, some are still going to go on to college, but that, you know, changes up a little bit. But, you know, so to have a little bit of that last few months where you can kind of do those things with your classmates, do those things with your friends, you know, do all the last sport events and, you know, all that is fun. So.
Right. Right.
Excellent. Were you going to say something?
No, I'm just,
okay.
I'm trying to think through what all went on at school this week and that's it. I mean, we've had cheerleader tryouts for next year, dance team tryouts for next year. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. Everyone already feels like they're up the next year.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
did you try out for Palm Squad? What did you try out for?
I did. I'm the head cheerleader of all time.
You should be. They'd be lucky to have you.
Yeah, until I break a hip.
Mm-hmm. Seriously. Oh, my gosh, you guys. One herky. We're one herky away from...
one herky away.
from the nursing home.
I wonder if they still call it herkies.
I don't know. I think so, right? What else would you
know.
Call it?
I don't know. I'm going to ask them. Okay. Herkies.
They'll be like, what?
It's a hierarchy.
Oh, that's funny. Well, this weekend, Tim and I had a great weekend. I never really have usually anything too exciting to talk about on our weekends because we've just been whatever, you know, you just kind of stay home and do stuff. But this weekend, we had all kinds of the regular things that we needed to do on Saturday. And we were planning on we hadn't even really talked about it. He had been in Kansas City, got home, you know, all the spiel. And we had stuff we wanted to do for his mom. And anyway, so that had been our plan loosely on Saturday until I went on Facebook Marketplace and found a set of jadeite. Do you know what jadeite is?
Yes.
You know, it's that green glass, that really pretty vintage green glass. It was several different makers. Anyway, I have a little collection of it. I collect it, but I'm not like a crazy collector. I just want enough to do some stuff on the table. And it's kind of a recent thing. I'll be real honest. I've always loved it, but it's so expensive.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I could never rationalize. You know, I'm like, it's a dish. Like if it breaks, you know, and especially with, anyway, so I've always kind of put it off and collected a few newer pieces. Cause some newer lines, like I think, Pioneer Woman had a little bit of that kind of look of jadeite. I think Martha Stewart did some. And I don't mind if it's new, like it doesn't to me have to be the old, although the old is good. Anyway, I digress. I found some, some jadeite cups and saucers and plates on Facebook Marketplace for a really good price. And I was like, so I contacted the person back and forth, got the price down a little bit. Anyway, said, yes, I want them. So then I told him, I said, hey, come with me to meet this guy at 11 o'clock because he could do late anyway on Saturday so I can get this jadeite and I don't get murdered. And he's like, okay, because, you know, you're just going and meeting.
Right, yeah, meeting whoever, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, will you come with me? And of course, Tim's always up for whatever. So I decided to make it at 11 because I was like, Tim doesn't get many mornings to just chill. So I was like, we don't need to get up at, you know, the crack of dawn.
Yeah, oh, dark 30.
Yeah, we don't need. And then I was like, it was up in St. Charles. So for those of you, I've never taken you. You need to come there too.
Yes. Yes, you have.
Have I taken you to St. Charles?
Yes. It's been many years ago, but yes.
Well, anyway, for those of you that aren't familiar, it's a little ways north and west. It's the next county over, but there's a beautiful little, it's a historic main street. Actually, it's where the first capital of Missouri was. It was in St. Charles, so right there on the Missouri River. And cute. Old brick, old cobblestone main street. Lots of good restaurants, lots of little shops and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So it's a fun place to walk around. And we hadn't been for a while. So I was like, we'll meet this dude and then we'll go grab lunch up there on Main Street and all that. And that would be real fun. So we did that. And as we're going up there, of course, Tim and I are talking because I'm like, you know, about this meeting someone and we were joking around and because I got a real deal on these dishes and actually ended up getting an even better deal because they were a little scuffed on the bottom. And the guy's like, well, just make me an offer. That's fine. I'm like, okay, you know, I'll give you whatever. And he's like, okay. But I told Tim, I said, Tim, this is how they get me. This is how, if I go missing, this is how they get, it's going to be, I've got these jadeite dishes at a really good price. Come meet me by the river in the white van. And
hang
I'll
on,
be
I'm
here
taking notes.
The jadeite dishes. And Tim said, that's the truth. And so then he started calling this guy. He's named, not this guy, but he's like, it's the jadeite killer. So this is the new serial killer. It's the jadeite killer.
The jadeite killer.
Lures women with vintage dishes. And
we got a new book.
I'm telling you.
Designer Cornbread is now publishing a book, you all.
Trademarked. Don't take it. It's ours. And so literally that is the all day, you know, and we called and Tim FaceTimed Avery as we're driving. He's like, Avery, I just need to let you know if we go, if something happens.
Tim. It's the jadeite. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him.
Yeah, I'd like to see him too. But he's like, it's the jadeite killer got us. So that, but I do need to let y'all know if it, that's how I'm, that could be how I go. Yeah. So just, if I go missing, start looking for ads on Facebook for good price jadeite dishes. But all that is the same. They are really pretty. I was really happy. And then we went and had lunch outside, Joni, outside on a patio in the sunshine at a really delicious place called Salt and Smoke. If you're in St. Louis, I think they have a couple locations. Outstanding food, beautiful, walked around. And then we decided, as we were driving back, we had one more errand to do up there. And we'd taken Tim's truck because it was kind of cool that morning and we didn't think it was going to get really warm enough to do the convertible. And so we were like, let's just do the truck. But then we were driving home and we were like, I said, what if we just go home and we go get the other car? We just switch cars and we go back out and we go somewhere. He's like, yeah. So we basically just skipped. We just abandoned all our responsibilities and just played hooky and decided we weren't doing whatever it is that we could have sat around and done. So we went home. Dropped stuff out, then we grabbed the dog. We grabbed Sherlock, and Sherlock came with us, and we drove with that top down, and we drove across the river to the Great River Road, which goes up the Mississippi River up to Godfrey, Illinois, by Alton, which we love. It's one of our favorite. We haven't done a day like this in a long time. Like we are both like, it's been a minute. went up the River Road. It was gorgeous. It was spectacular. Stopped at a little place, not a little place. It was kind of big, but big outdoor seating on the river, and had a couple drinks and or beers and a appetizer. And Sherlock got so much attention because he's such a precious peanut, and he had his little sweater on.
Oh, my goodness.
In his little convertible and his little sweater.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a sight. It was a sight. But anyway, all of that is to say, we just hadn't done that in forever, and it was such a good day, and Tim really needed it. I mean, we both really needed it. Yeah. You know, you need that. But, we just were like, we're not doing – let's just – we can do the stuff for Mom tomorrow, and we did. We went the next day, and we did a big closet clean out for her, and I got her some new outfits because she's losing weight, and so we did closet clean out. So we got – our Sunday was really productive on that. You know, we pushed it, which, you know, you hate to do, but – anyway.
But you had a good day.
We did. We really did. Tim's head was so sunburnt, though. I mean, he wore a hat, but at some points he took it off. But it was perfect. It was like 60, 65, yeah, maybe. Like it was.
Yeah. Good day. Yeah. Well, I went went to lunch on Saturday with Hino.
Did you?
I did. It was Janie's birthday. Uh-huh. Janie's been having some sleep issues, and so she just couldn't come.
So you got to see Hino Jr.
So we got to see Hino Jr. And at Hagee's Catfish Hotel.
That's a good one.
Where the catfish check in, but they don't check out.
They don't check out because they're in your belly.
Anyway, so we went to Hagee's I just had a little lunch with Hino and got caught up, so that was good. But I went downtown Saturday. We have a new store that you are going to love.
Oh.
We do.
Tell me everything.
Ron did not go with me because he was working. But,
okay.
So, you know, Sayla, the little coffee shop. Mm-hmm. So right next door to Sayla now has opened up. It's called The Porch on Main.
Oh.
And they have all kinds of, I mean, it's like a community market. Like, like where people make sourdough bread. It's all sourdough. Gosh. Sourdough bread, sourdough scones, sourdough cookies. People are bringing in their chicken eggs and their duck eggs.
Okay, so it's like an indoor farmer's market.
Farmer's market.
But
yes.
That people could... That is such a great idea for that
they
area.
They have homemade jams and jellies.
Oh my gosh.
And then they have some, you know, pre-made things, but organic and all of that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no. It was really good. I got a scone flight is what I got. And
oh,
it was
nice.
Box. Yeah, it was good. Okay. So, and brought them home and we ate on them, you know, Saturday and Sunday.
Oh my gosh.
A place down there.
That is a very cool idea for there because, you know, small towns are hard to, you know, retail's hard.
Yeah, it is. And they are going to, they're going to start making like soups and sandwiches and things like that, I think. But the guy said, look, he said, the only people funding this is us. Mm-hmm. So we're going at our pace and what we can do and when we can do it.
Yep.
And I mean, it's just great. I mean, it's great.
It is great. And there's so many people. What I was thinking was like the area that you are, you know, the whole surrounding area of the Hardin County and all that. And like how many people make good breads and do those kinds of things and have eggs and...
Right.
You know.
And we've got a couple of farmers here that actually go to our church and they've got a business called 64 Beef. Of course, we're Highway 64, but they're cattle farmers or ranchers and they raise cattle and then they sell their meat. They sell the meat that they've raised. So now they've started putting some of their meat in there. And Jared is one of the owners of that. And Jared's sister is making a bunch of sourdough breads and focaccia. And I mean, just outstanding. And I'm hoping she'll put some in there because it's closer to me than out in the country. But
absolutely. That's such a
great little thing. Look, is old time bread. I love it. I love the name. It's all great.
But I love that. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. That's so great. It's just like a little indoor co-op kind of market where they don't have to set up a stand outside in the rain. Like they don't have to do all that. So it's open kind of every day. I mean, it's like
every
a daily.
Yeah.
So we just have whoever we brings have a, whatever they want, or how does it work?
No, I'm sure they've got like contracts.
Right. You like lease a spot or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, we still have the farmer's market, but mm-hmm. it's only there every Wednesday.
Yeah. It's the, only one day.
Starts in the spring.
Uh-huh.
And so that's down in our little farmer's market area. Mm-hmm. This is something, you know, Saturday when I'm home, I can walk up and, right. and get stuff.
Exactly. So, you know, it's going to be there. You know, it's going to be, like I said, it's inside. Because let me tell you, from being someone who's done markets.
Outside I mean, is rough.
Well, it just can be. And now you yeah. have a nice, y'all have that nice pavilion. Your farmer's right. market is at least in a pavilion. But, you know, the ones where you go and you got to set up a tent and you got to set up a thing and a table. And it's just like, you know, you never know if it's windy, if it's rainy, if it's, you know, it's fun. It can be fun yeah. and it's a cool thing to do, but it's really challenging. Whereas if you have that indoor space, you know, you can just go set up your table or whatever and do your thing. Well, that's all. Well, I can't wait to get down there because I'm going to have to get me a scone flight. Yeah. That's what I need.
Yeah. Oh, I did do something. Listen, let me just say, and I talk about Flourish a lot, and I'm going to continue to uh-huh. talk about Flourish a lot.
Amen. You and me both.
I am really on board with functional medicine. And the more that I read and the more that I study, the more bored that I'm getting. But here's the thing. I've never had high blood pressure until lately. And my blood pressure has been going up. Hmm. And I don't know why. Anyway, so I go in and I'm talking. Of course, I'm getting hormones and all that. But so I go in, I'm talking to her about my blood pressure. And she said, had you come to me, because she used to be a nurse practitioner and all this. She said, had you come to me before I started doing functional medicine, I would have given you blood pressure medicine. And she said, but all that does is tricking your body into behaving a certain way. She said, what we need to figure out is why your blood pressure is going up.
Yeah, it treats the symptom, not the cause.
And not the cause. And yep. so we're doing, and she said, it could just be some minerals. Your minerals could be off. Well, and she said, let's try this. So she gave me, you know, a couple of supplements with minerals, but they do this hair tissue analysis that goes in and it's going to tell you everything that's wrong with you.
Oh, interesting.
And there's one that's, they call it a biohacking. I don't know that I'm going to do, I don't know if I'll do that or not, but it really gets into your, basically your DNA. I mean, it's going to, if you've got anything wrong with you,
oh my word,
it's going to show up there.
Mm.
So anyway, but I've started taking these while I'm trying to decide what to do. I just started taking these minerals that she gave me. And guess what? My blood pressure's going down.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know exactly.
Well, I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, just wow. you wonder how many people are on blood pressure medicine
yeah.
that does all kinds of, has all kinds of side effects.
Yeah.
When all you're missing is a couple minerals.
Yeah. Same with statins, same with stuff for cholesterol. Yeah. Not that you shouldn't, right. not that, you know, we're not doctors. Right. We don't know.
No. Sometimes that is the, I mean, sometimes that's the way you have to go.
It sure
and that's
is.
What, that is one thing that I do appreciate about Flourish mm-hmm. is they take both sides. I mean, they yeah. look at both things and they don't discount traditional
right?
medicine.
Of course not.
Sometimes it's needed. I mean,
that's exactly
antibiotics
right.
are a good thing, right?
That's exactly right.
And so, and there are times that you need things that the functional is not going to
yep.
to meet. But
it's more because again, like our healthcare system is very, and again, we have a good one. Like I'm not trying to be a big pain in the butt, but
right.
it's very good at it's what it does the best to me is emergency trauma,
yes, right.
surgery, like saving your life. If there's an, like yeah. it, like there's no pill or oil or supplement you can take mm-hmm. to, you know, sew your arm back on or do
right.
whatever, you
yeah.
know, like
yeah.
excellent. What it's not seeming to do the best at is health care. It's sick care. And it's not doing that great. And you know, you can say what you want to say, but just go look at statistics.
Yeah.
Just go look at where we were and where
we
are now.
You know, my grandfather and my dad were both pharmacists. And the one thing that my granddaddy said to me when I graduated high school was, little girl, you can do anything you want to do, but don't go into pharmacy. And this is coming from a man who, when he started pharmacy, it was all about helping people. And then he watched it change over the years to where it became about a big money making thing. And he got very frustrated with it. And so, you know, but it is, and I think we're seeing that. I mean, if you watch any drug commercial and then they have to list all the side effects at the end, the side effects take up more than the commercial advertising.
I know.
The
original that's one of those things too. I do get on a high horse about. It's like, there should be no pharmaceutical advertising.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have it. It's not a tennis shoe.
Yeah.
They can talk to the doctors.
Right.
They can show and tell the doctors their studies and their things and the information about new, you know, of course. But when you've got, you know, Wegovy and Sowobo and, you know, rhinitis or whatever, you know, it's like, there's a problem there. There's a conflict of interest there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe maybe this current political situation will get some of that swept up. We'll see. And that's just, again, that's for anybody and everybody. Like, you don't.
But again, but I say that. And the reason I say that is, y'all, if you have something, I mean, go deeper than, you know, don't just treat the symptom. Go figure out what it is. Well, what's causing this? What's the problem?
Yeah.
And work on that.
Yeah. And I think that's what most people want to do. I think that's what most of us as regular patients want to do. I just think that we're used to the system of you go to the person in the white coat and they tell you this and you're like, okay, I get, okay. I mean, you know, cause you and I have shared stories. I could tell you so many times where, you know, and I haven't had terrible doctors, but it's just like, they don't ask you anything. They, and I'm really generalizing. A lot of them are very, very good. So please don't come for us if you're a doctor.
Yeah. But no, like, I've had very good doctors. So.
But yeah. And there's many very, very good ones, but like, there's also just kind of this system of, well, okay, you know.
Well, they're overwhelmed too.
Yeah, you know? Probably and so.
They're overwhelmed. And now, I mean, in olden days, you had one doctor, right? Mm-hmm. And now
Doc Baker
knew exactly what was going on with you. Mm-hmm. Well, now you have this specialist and that specialist and this specialist and that specialist. And well, you're going to have to go here for your heart and you need to go over here for your kidneys and you need to go over here.
Yep.
And none of them are talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
And one's saying you need to take this medicine and you need to quit this medicine and the other doctor's saying you need to take this medicine and stop. I mean,
it can be a lot. Managing medicines.
Lot. Yes.
I will tell you, that has been a very motivating thing to me personally. And I think we've talked about it before, but now we're not doing my mother-in-law's medication. They're handling it for where she lives. But handling and dealing with and figuring out when you've got 7 or 8 prescriptions.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. And it's just a lot to manage. The amount of time you spend managing medications. I'm just like, and you know, again, this is not anti-med, this is not, but it's just, I don't want to do that. I would rather not, because if you've done it for someone or yourself, the amount of refills, the amount of coordinating, the amount of, you got to go back in and get the refill for the thing you're supposed to take all the time. And then you got to go get the test for the thing. And then they don't have the thing. And then they call
right.
It's like, it is like
it's a full time. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And who wants to do that?
Yeah.
You know, that ain't fun. I want to be in the convertible with my wiener dog. Okay. Which means I got things I got to work on. So, which I'm doing. But anyway, that's interesting. Well, speaking of that, I don't have any breaking news, except I had my blood work done with my new St. Louis version of Flourish. And I'll, you know, be happy to talk about it more as I kind of, you know, go into it more but they were very nice. It was a very nice place. And they said all the right, like you stand on the little machine that measures and you do all the things.
Yeah.
And they really, you know, everything I said, she was like, yep, that's probably, that very well could be that. Yep. Mm-hmm. How about this? Do you have any of this? I'm like, She's like, well, and so that just felt great.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you gotten it back? No, I
got a little bit of it, just a couple of tests the lab sent to me, and then they're still doing a couple. And of course, they're doing just everything, which again, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good to get that done. So I'm excited. I go back on April 2nd. So next Tuesday, and meet with them and go over all that and formulate a plan, y'all.
That's awesome.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited. And you like beat yourself up, but I'm like, you hate it when you wait a little too long, but I understand it's fine. Like there's no point in beating yourself up. You got to give yourself grace.
That's what I said when I first did this biohormone. I thought, I don't know if I want to laugh or cry.
I know
that I feel so much better
or
cry that I put it off so long.
Yeah.
That I wasted so much time being, but
I know. Anyway. And that is what it is. You do better when you know better. I mean, and also there's timing and there's cost. There's a lot going into it. I was thinking the other day, and I haven't even gotten any, like I said, I mean, I really am counting on that I'm going to be feeling better and be healthier and be kind of moving in a better direction. Yeah. But I was like, I left there and I thought, right now is like, we're in menopause is like the thing in health right now.
Yeah.
Like women are finally, thanks to Instagram and Facebook and talking to each other and podcast, like it's taken this kind of time in history, for women to be able to really put that at a forefront of health and how to handle it and things to do and all that. And I just thought it made me feel so sad for like our moms and our grandmas and all that didn't have squat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, didn't have squat, just had to grin and bear, and you hear stories of these women that get put in institution and all these things. And you're like, it was probably the menopause.
It probably was, most likely. And it's something that, and we have talked about this on here before, when you get pregnant, people will talk to you all day long about pregnancy. Menopause has been one of those things. We're just going to sweep it under the rug and not talk about it. And nobody tells you what to expect.
Uh-huh.
Nobody tells you.
And that's been, it has changed in we've hit this timing perfectly because this is the first generation of women.
Yes.
Yay, go Gen X. Yeah. We are amazing. We are unstoppable. But this is the first generation to go, let's talk about it.
It's because frankly, it's a lot of bad stuff you don't want to talk about. I mean, that you don't, it's a lot of private stuff. It's a lot of just stuff that, and back then for sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was taboo.
Nobody talked about any of it. So.
But like you said, amongst themselves, they still talk. I mean, they maybe did amongst themselves, but like you still talked about when the babies and all the kind of stuff like that. But the other thing it did make me, so I felt really bad for our foremothers, but then also I felt really proud of it. I was like, look at what they did without any help. They were all amazing.
Yes.
Still plugging away, still doing for the family, still all this.
Yeah.
And they weren't whining about their hormones because nothing,
there's
they didn't
nothing
know
to do.
Or nothing could be done.
Yeah.
So I also have a real respect for them.
Listen, my grandmother, she had a part of her leg amputated later in life, but nothing stopped her.
Yeah.
I mean, she just kept on going. She that woman had so much joy and, I try to compare myself to her. I'm like, Joni, you're such a loser.
I've always told you that, Joni.
I know.
You're just
a
loser.
Right? she didn't stop.
Yeah. You're very squeaky. You're like a squeaky
Smurf
today.
I'm sick. Okay. I'm sick.
It's making me laugh.
I take that back. She did stop for a couple hours for her stories.
Oh, her stories.
Her
what
stories.
Were her stories, but Jody?
Her stories were As the World Turns.
Uh-huh.
And I've forgotten the other one. Hers were the CBS ones.
Okay.
Another world. What was it?
I don't even know. That sounds right.
Another Light. I can't remember, but
that sounds right.
I know As the World Turns was the big one.
Okay. That was her story. She had to pause for her story.
We had to stop for the story.
Well, thank goodness there was that to make her stop for a minute.
Yeah.
You know?
It was it.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh. Yeah. So I don't know. It's a good journey. We'll keep, like I said, Joni's been giving us so much good information and that's sort of the reason that we're doing this podcast. Well, it's one of the reasons. We have others, but you know, it's just that idea of we're assuming that there's other people in the same situation that we're in. We know that there are, that there's mamas that, you know, grown kids, grown families, starting to be empty nest, close to empty nest, kids starting to leave the, you know, home, starting to, you know, enter these different health times and family times. So we just know it's always good. It encourages me when I hear people chatting about it. And you know, we're always good for a laugh about it. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, made me think, because one of the things, so there's a new little account on Instagram that I've started following, and I'm sure I'll talk more about it because it's new, but she's a therapist or a counselor, and the account is called Raquel, the Capacity Expert. And I mean, I'll link it when we do our notes, but I, again, it's because we were talking about all this, you know, I've been talking about capacity and resilience and all this. So Instagram, of course, is my phone is sitting here. So of course it's listening and will pull that stuff up for me when I get on Instagram.
Right. Yeah.
Which I appreciate in this case. Okay. So this came across my feed and I don't know what it is about this lady. I don't know really much about her, but she has just a really matter of fact way of telling, I think you would really like her.
Okay.
She just kind of tells it like it is, very calm, you know, spoken, but kind of a little bit different take on some things. I can't get to everything, but I mean, I don't know that much, but you know, like one of the things that caught my attention that she said was like how so much talk around mental health is about how we need to protect our mental health. You know, we need to be careful. We need to protect it. And she's like, that is not true. You don't need to protect it. And it needs to be strong. And I literally went,
preach it, preach it.
You would love her. I'm telling you the thing, because the things she's saying are a little counter to some of what is being talked about, you know, in this world.
What's being talked about right now is victimology.
Yeah. And yes. And you would really enjoy, she just does these different clips, and I actually ordered a little ebook, little thing from her about capacity. I haven't been able to look at it yet. And that's kind of her main thing that she, the capacity expert, is what, you know, is talking about, is that you don't need to protect it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to.
That's what got us into this.
You have
place
to
that
expand.
We are. Yeah. Yes.
And grow your ability to deal. She talked the other day. What was it she said? She said it was like the difference between, there's a difference between coping and capacity.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, a lot of people think they just say, I just got to cope. You know, this is hard thing that's happening right now and I just got to cope with it. Yeah. And I just got to get through it. And I just got to, you know, survive this situation that I'm in. And so we talk about our coping mechanism and ability, which is, you know, it's very important for kind of emergent, you know, like something out of the ordinary, you know, that you need to kind of deal with in the moment. It's almost like adrenaline, just kind of like, okay, yeah, you got to cope with that real quickly. But she's like, the coping is just this kind of get through it and it's off. Whereas what you want to do is you want to have that capacity bigger. You don't want to just be in coping. You want to be where you're capable, where it's not a coping anymore. It's and it was just a whole, there was a little thing. And then this is the last thing I'm going to say about this today, because I'm sure I'll talk more about it. She had a screenshot up and it said, it just was words. And it said, you're not tired of being strong. You're tired of expecting life to get easier. Mm. And I had to DM her and say, or comment on it. I think I was like, you were reading my mail. I'm like, that's exactly how are you in my head?
Yeah.
that's what part of what I've been formulating over these last weeks, as I've talked about it even on here, is like starting to really realize what the issue is, you know, and this is, everyone has different, you know, whatevers, but it was this kind of a subconscious thought. I don't even know that it was a conscious thought to me all the time, but of, you know, waiting for life to be easier. Why isn't the, you know, it's getting easier. Now the kids are gone. It should be easier.
Yeah.
And then it's not. It is in some ways.
Yeah.
But there's something else there. So that was just such a great, to me, it's just like, you're not tired of being strong. You're tired of expecting life to get easier.
Yeah.
And then it done. And I was like, okay, I'm going to think about that for a little bit. Think about that. But, you know, it's like what we've talked about with expectations and,
yeah,
you know, if you're constantly having an expectation of yourself, yeah, of the world, of St. Louis drivers, you're going to be disappointed. You know, it's not going to pan out always. And so when your happiness or your well-being or your peace is dependent upon other people meeting those expectations, then it can be a tricky situation. So there you go.
It's true.
That's my deep thought.
And look her up.
Yeah. I was surprised. Again, she would say something and be like, contradict kind of what, she's very mellow. Like she said, very chill. She's not like a, you know, kind of aggressive-y, but she's just like, you know, common therapist, you know, thing in therapy right now is to talk about, you know, protecting your mental health or getting it. And she's like, and that's just not right. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I know. I'm like, and I think it's true. I wouldn't just like it because, you know, it's contrary to belief. I think it's really the truth.
I will tell you what I see at school, because right now we have a new mental health counselor and she's wonderful. She's got a therapy dog too named Sully, who loves me because Sully knows where the food is. This is nothing against her at all, but my class, I'm non-academic. So they're coming to me and it's becoming constant. And I've talked about it with her. Can I go talk to Miss Jane? I need to go talk to Miss Jane.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing more of, it's becoming more of a crutch, I think. It's Miss Jane's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I can go and pour everything out. And instead of using it as it was intended, you know, when you were really in a crisis moment, it's becoming I need to be babied.
Mm-hmm.
I need
more of a daily kind of a weekly kind of thing. You need to get a therapist for that, then that's fine. But
right. Because it's, and it is, but being this victim is the going thing right now.
Yeah.
You know,
it really is.
Where we grew up, where, okay, it's going to make us stronger. We're going to get, you know, that whole what doesn't kill you makes you stronger kind of thing.
Right.
That's not where my teenagers are right now.
No, the ability is a capacity. And I'm new. Like I said, I am just figuring out kind of some of the language. I mean, I understand the victim mentality and all that very well. But the idea that just what you're saying, that when we don't allow ourselves, and this is me, I'm talking to myself, when I don't allow myself to be in a hard, and I'm in hard situation, you know, you can't get out of them, but like how I handle and go through a hard situation is either going to put me towards more, I'll use the word victim, or, you know, self-pity or resentment or whatever that I might feel about my situation, or it's going to expand my ability to deal with those things.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what you're saying, is we want these kids, and no, none of this is a blanket. You just said it. It's not a blanket statement of every person in there in every situation, but we want our kids and our youth to be able to stay in the hard, just stay in it and get, you can get through and it. And we talked about that all the time with Tim did scouts with the, with our oldest and was a scout leader and did all this stuff and had a great group of dads, very like-minded group of dads doing that. And I'll tell you what, that's one of the biggest things that they encountered even, you know, back then, many years ago. Of and it's fine because especially boys are young, they're young. This is when they need to be learning this. And so to have something where they could learn, like, you know, hey, if you wear Crocs on a hike and you don't have the right weather thing on because you decided you didn't want to wear it, that's gonna be a bummer for you. You're not gonna die. You're not, or whatever, the homesick. I mean, all those are very real and no one's making fun of it. I'm not making fun of it, but like, you know, boys, you know, someone would get very homesick and very wouldn't want to call mom and whatnot. And I'll tell you what, the worst thing was when the mamas and them daddies got when involved.
Come get them.
Because that is what, and it's, again, I'm not talking every, you know, your child, you know, your, I'm not, you know, goodness knows, but what that says to that child is that child at that time, and they are feeling very bad and they're feeling all these things, these hard, hard things. They are not in danger. They are not, you know, anything that's going to hurt them or harm them. And when they reach out like that to their whoever, and they should reach out to the cub, you know, the scout master and their fellow dudes, they should reach out and be like, hey, I'm feeling this way. But when they reach out and they get to the point where they want mom and dad to be called, what they're basically asking is, I don't think I can handle this.
I
can I
go
handle
home.
It? Yeah. I can't handle it. Yeah. And when you say, okay, honey, we'll come get you, you confirm that.
That you can. Yep.
We don't think you can handle it either, honey. We're going to come get you because you can't handle it. And then, boy, that's just, it would break my heart.
You and I grew up going to camp and, you know, and we didn't have cell phones and you didn't use the telephone at camp, you know?
Oh, no.
And so, if you got homesick, I
mean, which happened to people,
and you could write a letter home and say, I'm miserable, come get me, whatever, whatever, whatever. By the time that letter ever made it to the house, it would be, you know, I mean, you would be not wanting to go home at that point.
Right.
You would have worked through it. You would have, you know,
and it's just, it's just a really hard, it's hard to see. And again, lots of, you know, whatever, I'm sure there's exceptions and things and all that, but just in general, the hardest thing I had to do was leave Hudson at camp that year that he was bad homesick. The first, when I dropped him off, didn't want to go. And that was new. He was young, but he was on his like second or third year, maybe second or third year. So it wasn't like a new thing. He was with John Garrett, you know, all the things. And the night before in the hotel, I could tell he was all, and that morning, and man, he did not want, he wanted to go home. And I know, and it didn't feel, it was awful seeing him like that. Was heartbreaking. It was tough. It was, as a parent, but you know.
But he survived.
He had a great, he did great. And I talked to his counselor. I told that young man, that young college, whoever, high school, that I was leaving my child with. And I told him
that
what
we
was
have
going
a
on.
Whole different view of them now that our children
they're little
have
tiny
been
babies.
Counselors.
They're little tiny baby people taking care of our children. But I did. I pulled him aside. I said, here's what we're dealing with. I said, in, you know, all the things he'd been here, and he, you know, he loved, but here's what he's saying. Here's what we're dealing with. But I'm like, I'm going to leave him. And Big Brother was, I remember I even tried to call Thatch. I did. Cause I was like, and Thatcher was staff at that, but with Salt or something. And he was at an airport. He was off site. Cause if Thatch had been, you know, I'd have been like, hey, come see your brother for a minute. And then I would have skedaddled quick, you know? But anyway, oh, he wasn't there. He was at the airport picking up somebody or doing something. And you know, but that was one of the hardest things, but I told that little counselor and I said, here's what we're doing. I said, I'm going to tell him kind of goodbye. I'm not going to sneak off, but I'm going to be like, yeah, okay. And then why don't you go do your whatever? And then I said, I'm going to leave. And the guy was like, thank you. He's like, we got it. And I'm like, I know you do. And it was tough, but you know, it's just, it's hard. It's very, very hard. But as an adult who still obviously needs to work on this. You know, again, I want to build that. And that was a goal and something we really wanted to do with our kids is build that ability to do. We didn't know the language at the time, expand capacity, you know, but we called it self-esteem. We talked a lot about self-esteem when our kids were young. Right. You remember?
Yeah.
Self-esteem was the big thing because our kids, I want to say that our kids were probably pretty close to that first generation of kind of the trophy for everybody time. I feel like that kind of came about when our kids were little.
Yeah.
And kind of coming up in elementary school and sports and all that. And that was kind of really starting to be a little more of a thing. You know, so self-esteem was talked about so much. And I remember just thinking then a lot of the stuff that was happening and being handled was not really going to give them self-esteem because what gives you self-esteem is doing something hard.
Yeah.
Is knowing that you can handle it when something hard comes.
Yeah.
When you're scared and you don't think you can handle it and then everyone around you affirms that by treating you like a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. The buddy maybe bench. You shouldn't. Oh, do I need to talk about that?
No, oh, we've talked about it.
Have we talked about the buddy bench?
Yes, we've talked about the buddy bench.
There you go. You can't play with anybody, so go sit here and everyone else has to come to you.
Yeah.
Okay. It just doesn't do what the intentions are good. The intentions are good. Wonderful.
Yeah.
The intentions, but you have to really think through how the world works. And I know we don't like that because what we want to do is think how it should be and how everyone should be nice and how everyone should be this and should be that. But the truth is, again, I will allude to St. Louis drivers. The truth is that there's a lot of hard and bad and crazy.
Yeah.
So help your kids learn how to deal with that. And they'll be better for it. So. Oh, I don't know how we even got on that tangent, but I just needed to be said.
It did.
Really quick, before you do your recipe, and then it's your top three, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, good. But I had another eagle story really fast.
Tell us.
A little eagle, not about Jackie and Shadow.
Oh, okay.
But there is a bird sanctuary here in St. Louis. This is kind of a sad story, but I just wanted, it was an interesting little note. We have a bird sanctuary, wild bird sanctuary in the area. And I saw this post the other day, and it says, Murphy, the bald eagle who melted hearts all over the world, was found dead after heavy storms and tornadoes on that Friday night. But listen to what Murphy did. Murphy gained international fame in 2023 when he tried to hatch a small egg-sized rock at the World Bird Sanctuary and to defend it from other eagles as if it were a real egg.
Oh.
At around the same time, an eaglet was found in a fallen nest near Modoc, Illinois, and was taken to the sanctuary where the keepers swapped it out for the rock. In Murphy's mind, his egg had hatched. He began feeding the baby bird and teaching it how to become an adult eagle. Though he was officially known as Eaglet 23-126, the eaglet widely became known, of course, as Rocky. In July 2023, Rocky was successfully released into the wild. Murphy was found on Saturday morning when the staff of the sanctuary went to check on the animals, and he was found dead of a head injury, apparently probably from the storm.
Oh. That's awful.
It is, and I wouldn't have just shared it if it was just that an eagle was dead, but he was a little foster. He was a little foster dad.
And that's awful.
I needed to share Murphy's story. That's the eagle update.
Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that feel-good story.
All right. Give us a recipe.
Here's my recipe for the week is pizza strata. Ooh. And I am going to give you the original recipe.
Okay.
And then I'm going to tell you how I change it.
Oh, good. Good. Okay. That's what we want.
So you need 2 tablespoons of butter, 1/2 cup of pepperonis diced.
Oh.
1/2 yellow onion diced, and 2 cloves of garlic minced, 6 large eggs, 3/4 cup heavy whipping cream, 1 teaspoon of salt, about 1/4 teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes, or if you want it hotter, 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano, fresh parsley and rosemary finely chopped, a baguette torn into chunks, half a cup of jarred marinara, half a cup of grated cheese, mozzarella cheese, and a fourth a cup of finely grated Parmesan cheese.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Okay.
Okay.
So the recipe says take your butter, use it to grease a 9x13 baking dish, and tear the baguette pieces into small chunks and just put them in the bottom of the dish. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Melt your remaining butter, and you're going to cook your pepperoni and your onion until the pepperoni is slightly crispy. And then add your garlic and mix it into the pepperoni and the onion and cook it. So remove it from heat. And then you are going to mix the eggs and the heavy whipping cream into a mixing bowl and just whisk it, combine it, add your salt, your red pepper, oregano, and your fresh herbs, whisk those in, and then mix in 3/4 of the grated cheese into the egg mixture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Add all of the pepperoni, garlic, and onion except for a tablespoon to the bread, and then gently toss it, mix it to combine. Make sure that the pepperoni does not go to the bottom.
Okay.
Okay. Then mm-hmm. use a teaspoon to dot your marinara all over the top of the bread and the pepperoni, and then pour your egg mixture over the bread and the pepperoni. Top with the remaining cheese and then your remaining pepperoni mixture. Sprinkle with a little more dried oregano and crushed red pepper. Cover the pan with foil and refrigerate it overnight.
Oh, yeah. You got to do that. It's got to soak it up.
Got to soak it up. Mm-hmm, and then preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Bake the strata for 20 to 25 minutes covered. Then you're going to remove the foil and bake for 15 to 20 more minutes until your cheese turns golden and the center of the strata is puffy and no longer jiggly.
Golden cheese.
Okay. Mm. Now, here's how I change it.
Okay.
One, to me, that recipe is a little eggy when I've made it.
Okay. Okay.
And so I cut down on my amount of eggs.
We know you hate eggs.
I know
you're anti-egg.
I know.
Also, let's be frank, who can afford that right now? We got to cut back them eggs.
Right. Yeah. Cut back your eggs. It was just eggy. I don't know. It just had a, just was eggy. Okay. I used 4 eggs instead.
Okay.
But I go in and I make this like I want to make a pizza. So if I want some sausage and pepperoni, if I want to make it like a meat lover's pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And put whatever you can
green peppers, in. Diced up put green
in,
peppers.
Yep, green peppers. I put mushrooms. In red peppers, mushrooms, okay. However you want to make it.
Okay.
This is one of those good recipes that this is a base recipe.
Yes.
And then you go in and make it.
See, like whatever you got in the fridge whatever.
Right. Yeah. You don't want onions in it. Don't put onions in it. You want more onions in it. Put more onions in it.
Uh-huh.
You are not going to mess this up.
That's
so
great.
If you want to put ground beef and ground sausage and mm-hmm. pepperoni in there.
Ham, pieces of diced up cooked ham leftover.
Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great. Oh, yeah. I love that. I love a good base recipe like that, that then you can just.
I put in fresh basil mm-hmm. in it. I put that on top. I've done all kinds of different things with this recipe. So.
And really, to be honest, any kind of old bread you had, like stale, really any.
Stale. Yeah, your bread needs to be
stale.
Like
if you don't have a baguette, but if you've got like some leftover sourdough or something that's kind of older or whatever, you want to just use it up, that would work. Mm-hmm. That'd probably be okay too.
That's right.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Strata. That is a good one. I love that. Okay. Are you ready for your top three?
I am ready for my top three.
Top three.
Okay. Number one here is the pit.
The pit.
Have you seen The Pit? Oh,
no, I've seen ads. Tell me
it's
everything.
It's on Max, and it is fantastic. So for those
of you really?
Who,
okay.
Yes. For those of you who are our age and watched ER, this is done by Noah. Is it Wiley? Is that how you pronounce it?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
He was on ER, the young doctor, and
well, his
everybody
name was,
loved
what
him.
What was his name? Was it Noah?
I forgot. I don't remember.
No, what was his name on there?
I don't remember.
Oh, gosh. It's been a long time. I know who you mean, though.
It's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was kind of the young Carter. Was he Carter?
I think he was Carter. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right.
That's right.
So, anyway, he is like the head ER doctor, and this is based in Chicago.
Okay.
And so, your shows are kind of like, was it 24? Was that the Kiefer Sutherland where every episode was an hour.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was 24 hours.
Yeah. Okay. So same thing with the pit.
Oh.
This is their every hour they're on call.
On their
or every call. Hour they're on their mm-hmm. rotation there.
Okay.
And you've got the med students and you've got the, you know, the residents and you've got anyway, and it's all crazy, the crazy stuff going on and
okay.
all that.
Okay.
So it's really, really good.
Oh, I will tune in. Yeah. I've been seeing little, you know, when I turn on Max or whatever, it shows that. And I've been wondering kind of what that was about. So, okay, yeah. I might check that out.
I will warn you, it gets graphic. So,
well,
this
ER
is not,
was...
I know. I mean, you're looking at, I mean, when they're talking medical stuff, I mean, they're showing medical stuff.
That's okay. I don't mind that.
You know, babies being born that... Mm-hmm. You know, Ron said, was that necessary? And I was like, it's medical. I mean, you know, it's not for those of us who are medical minded and love all of it. It's great.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. All right. Tim and I would like that. Okay.
It is not for children.
Okay. Right.
Say that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've had tinnitus for a very long time, and which is the ringing in the ears.
Mm.
And lately it's gotten louder.
Oh.
And it's, yeah, it's.
You sure that's not voices?
It could
be.
Do
you hear words? Are they talking?
So, get behind me, Satan.
Just want to check.
Anyway, but I found on Amazon these little red light earplug things.
You are the queen of all the cool gadgets.
I am.
You are the queen.
I'll be honest with you. This was not very expensive. And so I'm really, I'm like, okay, I'll try that.
Okay. All right.
Because, you know, most of the time it's gimmicky stuff, you know, it's not going to work. They can claim it. So anyway, I got these, you put them in your ears, you mm-hmm. plug it in for like 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the afternoon or evening.
Mm-hmm.
And one rotate, they say, do it for 15 days and that you should do it for 3 rotations. So ultimately 45 days.
Okay.
I didn't expect, honestly, anything, and I still have some ringing in my ears, but I've been doing this for about a week now, but the volume of it has gone down tremendously.
Really?
Where it's not driving me crazy.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, okay.
I will report back about this.
Keep us posted.
But right now, it's made enough of a difference that I'm saying, okay, it's one of my top threes here.
Okay,
and
good.
It was like $20 or something like that. I mean, it was, you know, mm-hmm. it was worth the try.
Okay.
And my last one is a pastry mat. And I got it on Amazon. I'll link to it on our website. It has all the measurements across the top and the sides and the bottom, where if you're rolling out for cinnamon rolls and you need it to be a certain size rectangle, it mm-hmm. has your pie circle, your circle measurements mm-hmm. in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes it easy, and it's pretty thick silicone, so it's
that is nice.
Good one.
That is, yeah. I don't have one like that, and then that would be something that if I ever get back to cooking more, just to have those measurements there is and a nice surface to work on. That's very nice. Okay, excellent. Well, those were great. Those were a good top three.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, guys. Thanks for being here. I hope it's a good spring. We hope the pollen hasn't totally eaten you up wherever you are. I know places like further south are getting it already. So we're bracing.
It's here.
But anyway, hope you guys are having a great week, and we will talk to you next time again. But until then, she has to swallow.
I'm sorry.
Goodbye, cornbread.
See you, corn dip.
You need a vacation. You need to just lay up somewhere, go to some mountain cabin and just by a little stream, a little creek and just rest yourself.
Anyway, I hear you're going to Chattanooga.
Yes. Yeah, we are. We're heading down
and
this,
that you're staying right next to Caleb's workplace.
Yes, apparently
Please make Tim bust up in there.
I think he will, if we have time, because Caleb was so cute on the phone. He was like, you can come in my office anytime you want, which is, I'm like, that means he wants you to come.
That's exactly. Yeah.
And I did. I said, yeah, Tim, you should, I said, it's a really cool office. So I bet you he'll take a minute to pop up in there.